Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. I'm not going to read all the verses I read last Sunday. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13 is where I will begin. I'll just read three verses. Well, no, I won't. I'll read four verses. I'm sorry. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. And he's also saying, I give thee charge before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. How long, Timothy? How long?
Yeah.
Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you read that, there should be no doubt that the Apostle Paul is talking about our Lord's second advent.
Exactly.
There are those who say this has nothing to do with our Lord's second advent. But they're wrong.
Yeah.
They're wrong. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says these words, which in his times.
Yes, sir.
And I checked to make sure, because I do not rely on King James and his translators. I want to know what the Word of God says, not what the King James says. I'm not even meaning to throw off on the King James Version when I say that. But it says, which in his times, we'll look at that a little more in detail, which in his times he shall shew, or that is, show, manifest. He shall make known. What's he going to make known? Who is the blessed and only potentate. In his times he shall.
Yeah.
He has not yet.
Yeah.
He is to his people.
Yes, sir.
Revealing these things.
Yes, sir.
But he's going to reveal to all the inhabitants of the earth one day these things.
Yeah.
Which in his times he shall show. Who is the blessed and only potentate. The King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's going to show this as well. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach into, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I want to continue to talk about Christ's second advent. Why do I want to talk about Christ's second advent? Basically, let me put it this way, because it is our blessed hope. That's what it's stated of as in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
It is our blessed hope. This is not all there is to redemption.
Exactly.
Redemption is accomplished.
Yes, sir.
But redemption has been accomplished in the purpose of God from eternity.
That's right.
And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ came and judicially founded redemption.
Amen.
Through the blood of his cross.
Yes, sir.
But that redemption is still to be carried out fully when we awake in his likeness.
Amen.
And not until.
Exactly.
And not until. We're still waiting. Paul says in Romans 8. To wit, we're waiting for what? The redemption of the body.
Amen.
Christ's second advent. That's what I want to try to talk about. Why? Because it's important. It's important. To jump ahead, our Lord promised he would return. Right?
Yes, sir.
He promised he would return. Do you think he'll do it? Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Christ's second advent. But in this message, this is what I hope to zero in on and show you from Scripture why the Scripture teaches it's true. Christ's second advent. One appearing. You can put it one coming. Whatever. I know there are reasons why sometimes it says appearing and coming. I understand that, but I'm not going to even deal with all of that. A lot of people deal with that and deal with that to the confusion of many other people.
Yeah.
Christ's second advent. One appearing, many epochs.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I said? One appearing, many epochs. I hope this will become clearer as we go through. Concerning our Lord's second advent, it is stated in many, many ways. It is amazing when you begin to read the Word of God, even without study, just reading the Word of God, of references to our Lord's second advent, of how many times it is given, even in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Even in the New Testament. But what I want to give you is 13 references to our Lord's second advent, to His coming, to His appearing. There are far more than 13. And there is far more to do with our Lord's second advent than what I'm even going to mention here.
Yeah.
But I mentioned these for a specific purpose. Let me give you the 13. I won't say a lot about most of them, but I will about a few of them because they are very pertinent. Christ's second advent, one appearing, many epochs. Number one, Christ will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
Matthew 24, verse 30. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm not interpreting here. I'm just going to give you what it says. Number one. And remember, there's far more than these 13. Far more. But I'm just giving you 13. He will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's number one. Number two. His coming will take away the wicked. Now think about that. His coming will take away the wicked. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 41. We will revisit that one. Most people, this is on number two now, most people when they think about Christ's return, His coming, His second advent, they think about Him taking away His people. Right? That's true.
Yes, sir.
But it also says He's going to take away the wicked. Why do I believe that? Because it says so.
Yes, sir.
Number three, His coming will catch up together all who are in Christ.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17.
Yes, sir.
Those who have, and I will just put it so that there is no misunderstanding, those who have died in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are, let me change it. Those who are in Christ and have died. Let me put it that way. Those who are in Christ and have died, as Paul puts it, those who sleep in Jesus, they will be raised.
Yes, sir.
They will be raised. Everyone in Christ Jesus at that time who is still alive and remaining will be changed. And they both then will be caught up together, up off the earth, into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Why do I believe that? Because it says so. Because it says so. It's even sad that I have to stand here and say this, but I have even heard in some great circles this mocked. Not as though it's denied, but they use the word rapture. These people talk about the rapture. It is the rapture.
Yes, sir.
To rapture means to catch up. And Paul says we will be caught up. Maybe they just don't like Latin, so they don't like the word rapture. I don't know, because it comes from the word Latin word rapture. I don't know.
Maybe.
Never mock God's word. It's one thing to mock men who lie on God. I understand that. But don't mock God's word. And don't be afraid of any word simply because the enemy of God turns those words astray and wrong. They lie about the Trinity, but that don't mean I won't quit using the word Trinity either. And Trinity is not found in the Bible. But the doctrine of it is found in the Bible. So thirdly, His coming will catch up together all in Christ. Number four. We'll look at that one again too. Number four. He shall come with 10,000s of His saints.
Amen.
To execute judgment on all that are ungodly.
Amen.
Jude verses 14 and verse 15.
Yes,
number five. He cometh with clouds. Not just in the clouds, but He cometh with clouds to be seen by all, and all, that is all who are there when He comes, and all shall wail because of Him.
Amen.
Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. Number 6, His coming shall destroy the man of sin, the son of perdition.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And why do I say it that way? Because that's the way the book says it.
Exactly.
The man of sin is not a system of belief, but a person. Or at least, let me put it this way, he will be a person. The mystery of iniquity doth already work and has been. And a matter of fact, has been since the garden. It came to its full manifest head on the earth in the Gentile kingdoms of the great image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. Remember?
Yes, sir.
That's where it's first introduced as an organized system.
Yeah.
But over that system will be an individual. Why? Because it says he, him, not they, not it. Somebody says, you seem a little angry. I do get angry because men lie on God's word. Sometimes even God's people lie on God's word. Now let's be honest, right? I'm not saying everyone out there who doesn't understand everything I say today is lost. Penny and I talked about this the other night concerning another subject, actually, but people think sometimes when preachers make certain statements, well, you must be saying they're all lost. I never said that.
No.
But we think that. And I've told you why we like to think that. You know why? Because we all like to have some standard that we can go by, that we can say, well, at least I meet that standard. I know I'm in.
Yeah. You're right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, number six, his coming. He says whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yeah.
His coming shall destroy the man of sin, the son of perdition. He will sit in the temple of God one day.
Yes, sir.
Why do I know that? Because this says so.
Yep, that's it.
Now, if people want, well, that's not really what it means. You go ahead.
Yeah.
You go ahead. I'll go with what God says. 300 years ago, and I'm getting off a little, but not completely. 200 years ago, 100 years ago,
yeah.
No one could have imagined that the Jews would be established in what is now called the land of Palestine with their own country.
You're right.
Didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
But it has been.
That's right.
The fig tree is there now. Fig trees there. Number seven, at his coming, the gospel disobedient, that is those who disobey the gospel, at his coming, the gospel disobedient will be punished. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. That's what it says. Number eight, he shall be sent back. That's the way it's indicated. Whom the heavens must receive until. This is the way it puts it. That's the actual rendering in the King James Version. Number eight. He shall be sent back to the restitution of all things which were spoken of by the holy prophets. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Speaking of Jesus, he said, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things which were spoken of by the prophets. It's number eight. These are all things that are going to happen concerning his second advent.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? Number nine. Many more than this, but number nine. He shall change our vile bodies. That's the way it puts it.
Yeah.
He shall change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious body.
Amen.
Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. Number 10. At his coming, the heavens, and the earth shall be dissolved.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
At his coming, at his second coming, at his second advent, the heavens and the earth shall be dissolved. Nevertheless, there shall be, according to God's promise, new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 13.
Amen.
Number 11. At his coming, that is at Christ's coming, the devil, that is that great deceiver, even the accuser of the brethren. At his coming, the devil, the deceiver, shall be cast into the lake of fire. Revelations chapter 20 and verse 10.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says? Now, how I know that is because in 20, chapter 20, it does not specifically speak of Christ coming, but in chapter 19, it lets us know he has come.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah.
John, in this prophecy, this revelation of Jesus Christ, in chapter 19 says he's coming back on a white horse. And the armies shall be gathered together, and it's going to be clearly on the earth, because he shall come out of heaven. And he shall, at the end of a great period of time, then cast the devil into the lake of fire. Do I believe the lake of fire is real? Literal? I certainly do. Do I believe the devil is real and literal? I certainly do. Do I believe Christ's second coming is real and literal? I certainly do. Do I believe that the devil at the second coming of Christ, at his second advent, will be cast alive into the lake of fire? I do.
Yes, sir.
I find no need to symbolize those things.
Exactly.
Or metaphorize those things. So that it fits what I want to preach this morning.
Yeah, that's it.
That was number 11. When his coming, the devil, that is the deceiver, shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now these are just to name a few. But let me give you number 12. And I'm not even going to talk about this, but I got to mention it. Why do I got to mention it? Because I want to. Let that be enough. At his second coming, our Lord will save Israel on a national scale. Now, I put it that way.
Yes, sir.
But he will save Israel.
Amen.
There shall come out of Zion, according to Paul in Romans 11:26, after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
Yes, sir.
Because blindness in part is happening unto Israel until that time. Until every last Gentile is called into the mystical body of Christ.
Yes.
At that time, then out of Zion there shall come the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Right.
At this present time, they are enemies for your sake. Enemies of the gospel even.
Yeah.
But as concerning the election,
yeah,
they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. That's what's going to happen when Christ comes again.
Yes, sir.
He's going to save Israel. If God don't save Israel, I got no guarantee he's going to save me.
Exactly.
If God promised to them he would save them and he does not, then God's promise to me is just as much a lie.
That's it.
Now how more blunt and plain can I be? And let me tell you something, Joe. We talk about God hiding things. God hides things in plain sight.
Yes, he does.
He don't hide it by burying it away out of sight. He puts it in plain sight, so truthful that rebellious, hateful men can't see it.
That's right. Not open to it.
And even the flesh of the children of God will not and cannot see it until God is pleased to bow them down to his word.
Right.
And thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, I am not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. Anything I see, God revealed it to me, Joe.
Exactly.
But God didn't reveal it to me because I'm wise and smart and studious. He revealed it to me because, one, it's already there in this book. He opened my understanding to it.
Amen.
That was number 12. When Christ comes again, he shall save Israel. Then we have our text. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times... Now, is that important?
Yeah.
Could I just say which in his time he shall show?
Yes.
Can I just say which his time? No. No. Mm-mm. It says times because the Spirit of God meant for Paul to write times. Times. What does the word mean? Time. Just the word for, it's in the plural. I wanted to look. Make sure. Which in his times... What's the word time means? It means an occasion.
Yeah.
An occasion. It means a set time or a specific time. A fixed or definite period of time. Okay?
Yeah.
Here it is used in the plural.
Yeah.
Now, Revelations chapter 12, we will see this word used. And turn to Revelations 12. We'll see this word used in both its plural and in its singular and in its division. Revelation chapter 12. I will not say a lot about this, but I will say a little bit about this. Verse 14, and to the woman. Who's the woman? The woman is Israel. This is not the church. The church did not give birth to the man-child. The church does not give birth to the man-child through the gospel. The man-child gives birth to the church through the gospel. And that's just the truth of the gospel. Let us state it as it is. We do not birth Christ by anything. He births us. But Israel literally, actually birthed Christ, the man-child. Isn't that? That's what the book teaches, doesn't it? And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Do I think those are literal eagle's wings flapping on somebody's back? No, of course not. But if it was, I don't care.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, what, if it's some national thing, what do I care? Don't ever use anything in the Word of God to try to prove your own point. Simply take the Word of God as it says it.
Exactly.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time. You could just say for time, because Greek doesn't have that a indefinite. For time and times, that's plural. It doesn't define how many. Granted, it doesn't define how many, but time, that's singular, one time. Times, plural, and half time. Singular, cut in half. That's clear enough, right? From the face of the serpent. The woman will be protected from the devil's onslaught. That's what it's talking about.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's talking about. Here we see this word used in the Greek, singular, plural, and then divided in a half. Isn't it amazing? Now I will get mean. Isn't it amazing that there are those who, when the scripture speaks of here, granted, one could argue about times, plural, as to how many it means. But you have time, times, which means at least how many? At least two. You have a time, times, and half a time. What would that at least make it? Three and one half. In chapter 11, verse 2, you see this referred to in a slightly different way. Doesn't it? Chapter 11, verse 2, it is called 40 and 2 months. How long is that? Three and a half years. And then actually in chapter 11 and verse 3, you see it stated as 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. And yet many of our brothers in the past, when they wrote on this passage, say none of them means 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you're right, Neil. Their calculator didn't work like mine does. Their little bead thing, whatever it was they used. What does that mean? God the Spirit states it in three different ways, and yet people say it doesn't. The one thing it doesn't mean is what it says. That's the one thing it doesn't mean is a literal 3.5 years. Is that the way we approach the Word of God? Is that the way we approach His sacrificial, substitutionary sacrifice on Calvary?
No, sir.
If it is, then you maybe it is Arminianism. Who knows if God... What did God really mean? No, God means exactly what He says.
Yes, sir.
And for 3.5 years, the two witnesses will prophesy in Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified. That's what it says. And they shall be slaughtered in the streets, and their dead bodies will lay there for 3 days. And then the onslaught will take off. And then for 3.5 more years, Israel will be protected. Now, how long does that give you? That adds up to 7, don't it? Now, you just won't even go there. When the scripture gives you a timeline, stick with it.
There you go.
If it does not give you a timeline, don't place one on it.
Yeah. There you go.
If the scripture gives you a chronology, it may not have a timeline. That is a specifically stated times, what I mean by timeline. But if it gives you a chronology, stick with it. Even if you cannot discover the timeline or not. You understand what I'm saying? Because there are some places, as we will see, from God's own holy word and from God's own holy mouth, that there is chronology and that there is timelines revealed at times. My responsibility is not to try to make them all fit, but to declare, thus saith the Lord. And when there is chronology, I have to declare, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And according to the Apostle Paul, back to 1 Timothy now, concerning the appearing, 1 Timothy, let me get there. According to the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how long Timothy was to keep the commandment until, right?
Yep.
Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times... Concerning the return, the appearing of our Lord, there is more than one epoch.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Understand? There is more than just one event.
Yes, sir.
The second advent of our Lord is more than just one thing.
That's exactly right.
Now, there are three absolute facts. Somebody says, you're saying that somebody don't agree with you on this, that they're wrong? Yeah. But even more pertinent, they don't agree with this, they don't agree with the Word of God.
Exactly.
There is the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no doubt that I'm wrong on some things. You know why? Because I've found in the past I've been wrong on some things, had to switch my thinking to other things.
That's right.
And mainly, pray God, it's been by His Spirit and it's been to this Word. Now think about this. I want to give you three absolute facts. All of these. All of these, I get these 13, all of these, and many more, remember. All of these concern his second advent. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
All of these concern his second advent.
Amen.
His one return.
Yeah.
Notice what I said. His one appearing.
Yeah.
Not a second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth appearing. People come along and say, yeah, but people like you, you've got Jesus popping in and out of heaven right and left. You don't get it. You don't get it. It's not a second and a third and a fourth coming. That's the first thing. All of these things concern his second advent. Is that not what the book... I read some of these. You can go back and read every one of them. You'll see it's exactly when he... Almost every one of them is when he comes, when he returns, when he appears. Right? Number two. Scriptural honesty forbids me lumping them all as one singular soul epoch of his coming.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is one return, many facets.
Exactly. That's it.
There is one second advent, many events.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. That's it.
There is one coming, there are many aspects to occur during that coming. There is one return. I mean, I heard one guy say, you know, he was on a tape. He said, these premillennialists got Jesus rapturing people right and left. You know? Rapture a few people this year and rapture a few more the next year. Well, let me tell you, he raptured one several thousand years ago.
Yes, he did.
Called Enoch.
Yeah.
Hmm? He'll, let me put it, you can mock me all you want. He will rapture whom he wants, when he wants. He's the Lord of all the earth.
Amen.
He'll do with his own as he will.
Amen. Exactly.
There were people who were raised from the grave.
That's
when our Lord was raised from the grave.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now Lazarus was raised from the dead but had to die physically again. It's never said that these people were physically raised from the dead.
Yeah.
That's what the book says. If God wants to resurrect different people on 100,000 different occasions, that's his business.
Amen.
It ain't mine. It ain't mine. scriptural honesty forbids me lumping them all together, and you cannot do so with any coherency whatsoever.
That's
and yet I have heard men say that very thing. I have a witness with me here this morning, and I will not mention the person's name because I'm not here to tear somebody down, but I'm here to expose lies. I don't care who it is. If it's me, it needs to be exposed. This man was talking about the Book of Life, and the title of his message was Many Names. There were no one book, nothing but names. It was a good message. It was a good message. The Book of Life has one thing, names, and names only. No works, no David, nothing but names. That was the title of it. I'm sorry. Nothing but names. Good message. See, I lied on him already, didn't I? Nothing but names. But that man in that message said these words. In speaking about the coming judgments in the book of the Revelation and the coming great white throne judgment in the book of the Revelation, he said, and we know that the Bible says all these things shall come to pass in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Did he not say that, Paul? That's not, no. It wasn't lost. You mean lost going to hell?
Yeah.
You're wrong, Neil. And let me preach this. Let me preach this. If you think a man's got to be right on everything, Neil, then you're lost. And I'm lost, because I'm not. Now listen to me. Because I'm not here to condemn somebody. I'm not here to condemn. Neil, let me preach this. Listen to what I'm saying. You cannot put everything concerning the return of our Lord in one epoch.
No, that's right.
It does not fit. And let me show you why. Now look. Matthew 24. Now, Paul and I spoke about this. This is what got me to thinking about some of this. Matthew 24, verse 36. You do have, in premillennialism, people who think that any time you have a catching away, they think it's talking about the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
Right? And my mind was indoctrinated to that myself. For years, when I read anywhere about a people being called away, taken away, I thought, what? Rapture. Catching up, right? Christ coming back, the dead in Christ rising first, those who are alive and remain being changed, everybody being called up. Now listen, but of that day and hour, what day and hour? Now look at it. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, this is vital, because our Lord's using this to illustrate what he's talking about. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So is he talking about what? His advent. The second advent, right? But as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark. And knew not. Who knew not? They who were doing the eating and the drinking and the partying and the marrying. They're the day he's talking about.
Yeah.
Noah knew it was coming.
Yeah.
He was building the ark to the saving of his house by faith.
Yes, sir.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now look at it. Then, there's a chronology, right? Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And then premillennialists trying to say, there you got believers taken, unbelievers left. That ain't what this says. In Noah's day, the believers were the ones who were left. The unbelievers were the ones who were wiped out, taken away.
That's right.
That's the whole context here, is it not?
Yeah.
Then two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Who's he talking about being taken away there?
Yeah.
The unbelievers. The wicked being taken away. Now when you compare that, and I'm not going back to read it, with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 5, verse 3, it's totally exactly the opposite. Because Christ says, or Paul says about Christ, he shall then come personally in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are in Christ shall be raised and taken away, and the wicked shall be left to go through the day of the Lord. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
So these are two different events. Two different epochs of time, all to occur during the time or the times which he shall show who is Lord of lords. Do you understand that? I don't care if your mind's confused. One thing it ought not be confused about. Christ here and Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 are not talking about the same event. What does he rapture us up? Wipe them out. Then we fall back down. Then they come back to life. Then he wipes them out. See, it don't work. It don't fit. A general resurrection or taking away of all men will not fit Scripture. Let me give you another one. Now look at Matthew 24 again. Now look, let me get this spot. Time's running by. Matthew 24, verse 25. Behold, I've told you before. What's he say? I've already told you what's going to happen. What's he spoken about? The time when the abomination of desolation does what? Look, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoever reads this, let him understand.
That's exactly it.
Somebody says, well, that's talking about Titus when he came in AD 70. That's a lie. Luke 21 records Christ's teaching of that event.
Yeah.
That's right. Luke 21, and that took place at the temple while the people were casting their money into the treasury. And Christ said about the woman, remember the one that had just the two little pieces?
Yeah.
She cast in more than them with all their abundance. And while they stood there, he said, not one of these stones shall be left on another.
That's right.
And they said, well, why, when's that going to happen? He explained when it was going to happen. Yeah. And that's when Titus came in 70 A.D. Yeah. Look at Matthew 24, read the context from the beginning. He has now left the temple and went unto the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
This is a totally different message. Go back and look at it.
Yeah.
At a totally different time. Mm-hmm. And they ask totally different questions.
Yeah.
Luke 21 records nothing about your return. But when's this going to happen? All the stones being brought down. Matthew 24, they ask the question, while they are then now have left the temple and went up into the Mount of Olives. And they said, when's your coming going to be? What's the signs of that?
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about now. Now, while there may certainly be reference somewhere to things concerning 70 A.D., that's the abomination of desolation is the son of perdition who will set himself up in the temple that he is God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's it.
And look, 25, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the dead. Why does he tell it to them? Because they were the ones present while he was here. It is a prophecy. You don't prophesy to everybody and say, now this has nothing to do with you. It's all going to come into pass. You know why? Because the second of our coming of our Lord, we don't know when it's going to come.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you right then, it couldn't have happened. Well, it wasn't just there. He hadn't died yet.
Exactly.
He had to die on Calvary. We'd had no salvation.
That's right.
You understand that? I mean, right now they can't. They're not. So sit down for them to think about. Well, Lord, when are you going to return? They even ask him that.
Yeah.
What's going to be the sign of your coming? And I'm thinking he's already here. You're worried about the sign of his coming. They understood to some degree, Mason, something was going to happen, but they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand that his face was set like a flint in his first advent toward Jerusalem. And toward Calvary and toward the tree, because it's the foundation upon every promise, on which every promise of God is made. If Christ hadn't have died on that cross, then his second coming would be nothing but to our destruction and utter ruin.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. But look, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whether soever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So does he set us here a chronology? Does he? So before the Son of Man comes, the tribulation's got to take place first.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
That's what. But I thought you was premillennial. You don't get it. I'm talking about what he says right here.
Yeah.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Do you see it? And then shall arise, there shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Everyone on earth at this time then will see him.
Yes, sir.
You see that? And when's it going to be? After, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and all of those great cosmic events happen and collapse upon the earth. Isn't that what that says? Now, do I take him to mean what he says? Do I think he knew what he was saying?
Yeah.
Exactly what he was saying. He's the one that's going to be coming back.
Yes, sir.
But look, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power, great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Does your mind again hearken immediately back to 1 Thessalonians 4? Sound of a trumpet, right? But what does it say here? He's going to send his angels. Now, you don't send somebody. You don't call it sending somebody when you go with them.
That's right.
Does it?
Exactly.
And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, learn the parable of this. I'm going to give you an illustration of when these things are starting to come to pass.
Yeah.
That's what he goes on to say. Now, compare that. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm saying this, these things. One advent, many epochs.
Yeah.
Right? One advent, many events to take place. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So one thing we can be assured of in this.
Yes,
Paul said, I'm getting this directly from God.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself
Amen.
Shall descend from heaven. Now yes, in Matthew 4, the Lord's coming back. But not he will gather up his people. He'll send the angels out to gather up people then. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Here, he comes back himself. And look, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
That's a different epoch.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, and I'm not even going, it's going to happen before Matthew 24.
Yeah.
Right.
Why? Because chapter 5 goes on to say, but of the times and the seasons, there's no need for me to write unto you. Because the one thing that will happen first when Christ comes back, the one first thing that will happen is what? His elect in Christ. His elect in Christ, those who have been converted up to that point, will all be caught up together with him.
Yes, sir.
And then the day of the Lord will flood in. Right? Then the tribulation, the time of great wrath, and a time our Lord said, according to Matthew 24, will be like no other tribulation that's ever been or ever shall be. That ain't happened yet.
That's right.
The Holocaust, as horrible and horrendous as it was, will not compare. I think, how many, does it say like a third of the earth's population will be killed at one foul swoop? That's just at one foul swoop with all the other things that are still going on. Wow. Holocaust don't compare at all to that. Does it? Here's the whole point. You cannot place all these as one single event. And beware about trying to make them just because they sound similar. You better read and study. See exactly what the writer or the speaker is talking about. Because it's easy to confuse yourself. And if you're confused yourself, guess what? Anybody else you try to tell this, you're going to confuse them even worse. If the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? both of you is going to fall in the ditch.
Yeah.
And I know we use, and Christ was talking about the Pharisees, but let me tell you, if I'm blind in something and you follow me, guess where we're both going?
Yeah.
Over in the ditch.
Yeah.
But one thing about it, there is no blindness in the Word of God. Yeah. There's blindness in here, but there ain't no blindness here.
Exactly.
Now, one more, Revelation 19, I'm not even going to turn back to it. Revelation 19, Christ returns back to the earth, and the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. That's what it says.
Yeah.
They gather together. The armies of on the earth gather together. Well, the armies of heaven, it calls it, but it's clear they're on the earth. And they gather together against the Lord and his Christ.
Yeah.
And he puts the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire.
Yes, right.
And it's not until after 1,000 years that then Satan is cast into the lake of fire, because it said that the beast and the false prophet's already been there.
That's right. Yeah.
Now there's your timeline and a chronology right together.
Yes, sir.
But they're both concerning the second advent.
That's right.
And see there, David, it was at least 1,000 years between the two.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't care what you believe about the 1,000 years, you can't believe he's in the lake of fire yet. Because he's going to be released from the bottomless pit and then deceive the nations and then cast in to the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are.
That's what it says.
That's what it says, doesn't it? Even if you symbolize that, to be real even to a symbol, you've got to say there's a timeline and chronology there.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Again, let me say it. One coming, one return, one second advent, many epochs.
Yes.
Many epochs. I don't have time to give you all that. Christ's first advent set this precedent. You remember? To Ahab it said, and the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Yeah.
Now Ahaz didn't see the sign itself. The only sign Ahaz got was the word of God concerning it.
Yeah.
Ahaz was dead when the sign took place. But what was the sign? The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. What is it? Isaiah 7 verse 14, behold, this is a wondrous thing. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name who? God with us. That's his first advent, right? And he's going to come as a baby.
Yeah.
Micah chapter 5 verse 2 speaks of his coming. O thou Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though thou be small among all the cities of Jerusalem, yet out of thee shall come. Right? And we know he was even born there, was it not?
Yeah.
But then you turn to Zechariah 9:9, it talks about his coming as well. And it's his first coming because the New Testament confirms it. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting upon an ass, the foal of an ass,
that's right,
having salvation. That happened 33 years later, after the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14 and Micah 5:2.
That's right.
But they're all the first coming.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, it's clear to us now, hindsight is truly 2020.
Yeah.
But what about back then, David?
Yeah.
When you didn't have all the evidence of the historical events, even, of the New Testament. How is this? What's the little baby? She's going to put his... Was that maybe husband Mary's riding in on that donkey or something, Joe? He was in her belly. No. 33 years later, he himself sat on the baby, on a baby donkey. And what? He rode into Jerusalem, and it's said to be his coming. Right?
Yes, sir.
Scripture does not leave itself without witness.
That's right.
Beware of trying to lump all of the events of the second advent into a system.
Yeah.
Just beware, no matter what system it is.
That's right.
They stand. Everything concerning the return of our Lord stands on its own.
Yes.
Let me give you three conclusions based on this, or because of this. Do not limit God's sovereign purpose.
That's right.
In Christ's return.
Amen.
By finite comprehension.
Yeah.
It's probably been, Mason, 25 years. And I don't mean this to boast, but I mean I have read and studied and parsed and made notes. I've worked almost 3 months one time of typing into the computer these things. And that was about 15, 16 years ago. And I was going to start on these things. And boy, I thought I got them all lined up now. You know what happened? My computer crashed. And I lost every bit of it. I'm talking about pages of work. And I thought, but you know what? It thought maybe say, whoa, stop. Back up. And look. pray. Beg God for sight to see.
Yeah.
Huh? And when I read that stuff to you from Horatius Bonar last week, I meant to read that because that's me.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things I'm less sure of today than I was back yonder when I was in my stupidity, David.
Yeah.
But there are some things I am more sure of.
Yes, sir.
Because they state them. It's stated in this book. Secondly, Christ is coming again.
Amen.
And in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. The second coming is primarily about him, not about us.
Exactly.
That's why preaching the second advent ain't just some second hand or second point doctrine. It's about him.
Amen.
Him being manifest for who he really is over all his creation.
Yes, sir.
It's about the person and work of Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, thank God, it does concern us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does. Because if it don't concern you in that sense,
yeah,
if it don't concern me in this sense, in other words, next week will be Christ's second advent, our gathering together unto him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be some people that are not going to be gathered together unto him.
That's exactly right.
All right? There'll be some gathered together unto him after he's come to take us out.
That's right.
But still only the gathered. Only the gathered only are blessed.
Amen.
Always. But there are specific promises to us today concerning his second advent. God willing, that's what I want to look at next time. Father, these things are beyond our finite minds and comprehension. And Lord, you take away pride from our hearts. My pride, Lord, calls me to understand that I know nothing today as I ought to know it. But Lord, help us not to doubt your word. Not to fight with your word. Not to be found to fight against you. Bow us down to thy truth as it is in Christ, and ask in his name. Amen.